to his time. My name is Kip Allen. I'm sitting in for Andy today. We're going to be doing a lot of good programming. Coming up right now, in fact, I've got Todd Zitlow, who is the archivist at the Concordia Historical Institute. Now, the CHI was very present at the convention.
Absolutely.
You want to recap a little bit what that was about?
Yeah, I thought I'd just share some of my own personal reflections. I hadn't been to an entire LCMS convention in the past, and so I thought I'd just share some of my experiences. And then, of course, you hinted at our big reveal that happened at the convention this year, this 9-foot-tall walking Walther, and we'll talk a little bit about his experiences at the convention as well. My personal reflections on some of the events that were happening there was I was very encouraged and proud to be a part of this church body. I thought the atmosphere was very collegial. I'm sure there was contentious times in the hall where the voting was occurring. Most of the time I was in the exhibition hall, of course, but the atmosphere just seemed very collegial. And I know some of these issues can be contentious and they're important. And it's important that we talk about them and make good decisions about them. But I was impressed and encouraged by the collegial atmosphere. Another thing that really stood out for me was, it shouldn't be a surprise, but it was the real national experience. I mean, you know, every time you walk up to someone, they're from a different state, it seemed like, or certainly a different circuit, a different region of the state. So it's really a national experience.
It was even international. I ran into Lutherans from all over the world.
Absolutely, that's true. I mean, and the clergy that were present and helped out with the opening worship service from clergy from around the world. And that's I found that to really buoy my spirits as well, to be among this great group of Christians and, you know, seeking to move the proclamation of the gospel forward. I suppose it's similar to the youth that go to the National Youth Gathering, where you're just gathered in this massive group of people, all for the same purpose, and that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And so that was the second thing I really experienced. And then the third one is something that stood out for me in the Missouri Synod for years, and that is the strength of our involvement in social ministries. I mean, being in the exhibition hall with all the other exhibitors and seeing how many ways in which our constituency reaches out to people in need of all kinds, it's really encouraging for me to see the number of ways in which we engage our culture.
Could you expand on that a little bit? What are some of the ways that we do read it?
Yeah, I mean, I saw like the Comfort Dogs. I know they've been in the news quite a lot lately, unfortunately, with all the tragedies that are occurring around the country. But the Comfort Dogs that go to various places to provide support and comfort for people, those were present. Various educational institutions, of course, all the Concordias were present. But chaplaincy programs, prison programs, ministries to the deaf, human care organizations. The list of social activity in the Missouri Synod really does extend quite a long ways.
I think this is a message we need to reach out both to the public at large and to our own membership. I think a lot of Lutherans are unaware of just how wide our reach is in social ministry.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's maybe our own sense of humility. We don't tend to tout that. You know, it's not really in our DNA to go about talking about how many things we do. But it does seem like the Missouri Synod in particular gets criticized for its lack of social engagement when it's not that's just not true. The engagement is just in not necessarily in the political arena, but in many other social needs. And you see that very clearly at events like this where so many agencies are present.
Oh, absolutely. I interviewed a gentleman who specializes in ministry to the deaf. How can they hear the word when they can't hear? And that was a marvelous interview. He talked about how they do it with signing and how the grammar is different, but they're able to get the message across largely through gestures because, you know, people gesture when they talk. I'm doing it right now, in fact. and that shows the emotion. That really gets across it. I spoke to a gentleman who is a member of the Pawnee Nation about his mission work to Native Americans and how they use the catechism and the Bible in working with the cultures there. I spoke with Matt Heisey Lutheran Heritage Foundation.
Right.
How they carry specifically the message of Lutheranism. For example, you know, the Bible is everywhere, but Luther's Small Catechism isn't.
Yeah, they translate all kinds of books into foreign languages. And, you know,
Matt is very fluent in Russian, and so he was telling me about some of his experiences over there.
Yeah. Of course, as you've hinted at, one of the big events for us at the convention was the unveiling of our kind of new mascot, the 9-foot-tall CFW Walther.
Steal a line from one of our politicians, it was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, we were talking about that he's a giant among theologians. As finances tighten around the Synod, we're looking for creative ways to raise awareness of Concordia Historical Institute's activities and try to do it in a way that's economical and yet has a long reach. And so this is an effort that we set about trying to do. Our executive director, Dr. Daniel Harmelink, hit upon this idea, and it's been in the works for probably about 8 or 10 months, and we were able to reveal him at this year's convention. And certainly, wherever he went, he drew attention. And if
he
you don't
that.
Know... yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can stop by our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/Lutheran History, and take a look at a bunch of the photos. We've put up a collage there of some of the photos from the convention. And actually, there's a lot of other photos. I estimate there was maybe as many as 500 or more individual photos taken by participants of the convention with CFW Walther. And those you'll find scattered throughout the internet through a lot of Facebook posts and possibly on other social media as well.
Including, I might add, the KFUO
Absolutely.
Page.
Yes. He sat down for a brief interview.
That's right. Although, with yours truly. I was very honored at his presence.
I don't think good
for a guy his age.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. He makes his grand return after a 100-year absence from the convention. So I wanted to share some of the fun experiences that CFW Walther had at the convention. Like I said, there was 500 photos or more taken. In fact, many of the exhibitors in the exhibition hall had Walther stop in their booth and take a photo with some of their materials and post it on their pages. We just want to communicate, partly through this program and partly through other outlets, that Walther was initiated and is underwritten by the efforts of Concordia Historical Institute. We gladly share raising awareness to other agencies as well, but our primary purpose, of course, is to raise awareness of CHI. But as we went around, a number of experiences happened. We had a couple of young guys, I say young, that's getting older all the time, but they were probably in their 20s, 30s.
They're young.
Yeah. And they wanted a picture with Walther putting them in headlocks. Yeah, so there's somewhere, I haven't seen it on the internet, but somewhere there's a picture that exists with CFW Walther putting a couple of guys in a headlock.
That's really tight theology.
Yeah, well, he's clear distinction. When you preach the law, you preach the law.
That's
so
right.
So they were getting law, I guess, that day. Another experience was with the Comfort Dogs, as I mentioned earlier, that they were there. A lot of those dogs that were present at the convention were in training. And some of them didn't take too kindly to Walther. I guess he's a pretty dominant presence, and some of them felt the need to assert their dominance back on Walther with some growls and things. In fact, for a time, one of the trainers was bringing one of the dogs back past our booth on a regular basis to teach him to be submissive to Walther. Of course, they need to be able to be in any experience and remain more placid, I guess, more relaxed. And so they were using CFW Walther to try to teach them some submissiveness. Although we did get a couple of nice photos within all the Comfort Dogs. And I think if you go to their page, you might be able to see those photos. There's others I could share too, but there was another event with throughout the week, we were trying to find a way to engage Walther in a push-up contest.
That would have been very difficult to do.
Well, actually, we finally found a candidate who was willing to hit the floor with us. His name was Chaplain Greg Jans, who is stationed out in California, and he was going through the exhibits on the last day, and he agreed to challenge Walther to a push-up contest. Officially, it ended in a tie, 10 push-ups each. So CFW Walther was able to do 10 push-ups after 205 years of age. So that was pretty good, but I think Chaplain Jans could have gone on for quite a bit longer. He was pretty fit.
I met him. I would not want to get on his wrong side.
No, he was pretty fit. But we appreciate his willingness to participate and just have a little fun. I think that's part of the reason with this CFW Walther big head is to just have a little fun. Certainly the activity that CHI does and the Synod at large does is a very serious project, a very serious endeavor with people's souls at stakes and their spiritual lives at stakes. But we can also have some fun and raise awareness in along the same way.
Well, that was one thing I wanted to bring out. You know, we Lutherans have, I think, an undeserved reputation sometimes of being a rather dour.
Yeah.
But there was so much laughter and so many smiles at the convention. Yeah. People were having a good time.
Yeah. And I think Walther, I can't speak too much, but I think he was a part of that. He went out and walked around, you could hear the gasps and the comments. There was a wide range of reactions, I think, to Walther. There was some minor reaction wondering about spending the money on something like this. But if, I'm not going to talk specifics, but CHI received some monies to underwrite this project, so it didn't come out of our operating budget. It certainly didn't come out of Synod's operating budget. And if you look at the amount of money that was needed to engage this Walther Bighead, it really compares very favorably with a single ad in one of our national magazines. And that's a one-time event and is done. And this will be something that we can utilize now in the present and into the future. And I think that it will definitely prove to be worth the financial investment in terms of raising awareness for CHI. We've had at least 4 requests already for Walther to come to different events. As we get our plans in place for seeing if we can make that happen, there's a number of factors we want to consider. But as we look at that, we think we can get them out to different events and really continue to raise the awareness.
Well, speaking of the Institute and all, we have this marvelous museum that you all established right here at the International Center. Do you want to discuss that just a little bit?
Yeah, very briefly, we'll point to some of the things that are on the horizon. The mm-hmm. museum here at the LCMS International Center is a permanent museum. You can come to see it during operational hours. We also have coming up a Walther League project that's underway. If you wherever in the Walther League, visit our pages. Ooh. And fill out some information. You can share your reminiscences.
I'm going to have to do that. I was in the Walther League. I mean, that was my social life when I was in high school.
It was true for many. So ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org, or go to our Facebook page and you can download the form to fill out for that. And then we also have a project on the walkout coming up. We're working on a new museum display for next year for the 2017 Reformation. And this November 10th, we have our awards program for excellence in the area of historical research. And that'll be November 10th later this year. So put that on your calendars. We hope to see you there.
Dan is wonderful on the research. I gave him some medallions that have been in my family for a while, and he was able to track down the history of the medallions.
That guy is a numismatist to the ends. He really knows his stuff. A couple other things, maybe just our page is ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org, or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Lutheran History. You can give us a call at 314-505-7900. Or our email is chi@lutheranhistory.org.
Todd, I thank very much for being on the program. And
thanks for having
me. So much fun at the convention.
Great. Yeah.